Praise the Lord. You can be seated. What a great morning, huh? Oh, boy. Owen, Wyatt, thank you guys. Great job today. We appreciate that very much. Thank you. Megan, Matthew, Michael, and Molly, I appreciate you doing that. That was greatly appreciated. Thank you very much for reading the scriptures for us this day. I want to thank Jeff Null and Rob Beck as well. Praise team, you did a great job today. Thank you for letting us join you as you praise the Lord together. Great job, everybody. Well, just for the last few moments, I want to just go over with you just for a moment. We've sung a lot about the Savior, all about the Savior. And that's what this very time is about. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So here's what I'd like you to do for the next few minutes. I'd like you to take out a piece of paper because you don't have one inside your bulletin. Did you notice that? Now, somebody told me what I should do for this message today is just give you blanks. I thought it might be better just to give you words and let you figure out where the blanks are. But that's not what we're going to do. I want you to take a piece of paper, if you've got one, I want you to write in a column, S-A-V-I-O-R. S-A-V-I-O-R. Not the British spelling, the American spelling, S-A-V-I-O-R, all right? Savior. I don't want to go over with you what that means. Savior. Now, let's just ask this. What do saviors do? They save, right? So what do you think that first letter is going to be? Save. Now, I know that you're going to say, save us from our sins. And you'll be right. But let me explain this to you. It isn't just saving us from our sins. That's what he's going to do. What has happened as a result of sin? Death has come. So he's going to save us from death. Not only that, sickness has come. He's going to save us from sickness. Not only that, pain has come. He's going to save us from pain. And with all of that, oppression has come. Bad politics, bad leaders. There's been a real mess up in what we were given at creation. Let's just go back for a moment and review what we're supposed to happen at creation. We were supposed to be having dominion over the face of the earth in the image of God. We were supposed to do things in the same way he does us. How does he do us? Is he gracious and long-suffering with us? Yes, indeed. Is he kind and merciful and loving with us? Then how were our governments supposed to be? Exactly the same way. Does he tax us? Now that will not go. Boink, died. I don't know. No. He calls on us to be stewards. And he calls on us to share what we have. Okay? Think with me just for a minute. He is the God who saves us from even oppression. Now, let me show you with you why that's so important in just a minute. I want you to turn your Bibles to Daniel 9 just for a moment. Saviors save us. While you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and just have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for a great day to remember that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for whatever time of year it was he was born, that he was born. And that's the most important to us today, Father, whether it was this day or another day. What matters to us that he is born, the Savior. The one that came to save us because we are in trouble. Thank you for what you're going to do as you open our hearts just now. We thank you for all of that. Asking, Father, you administer to our brothers and sisters who are in great need this morning. And here in this congregation, many know people who are in great need, whether that need is physical for their health, or it is mental, or spiritual, or help in guidance. You're the one. Thank you for what you're going to do in each one of us just now, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Prophecy was given to us. The reason the angels could say this to shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The reason they could say that because they were familiar as the people of God with the Word of God that had come to them. They already knew these prophecies. They've been waiting for them. Now, as I say that, doesn't mean they knew all the prophecies. They had them all memorized. No, actually, they were keeping the ones that they thought were really important to them, just like we do. And sometimes they overlook some here and there. But here was one in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. And if you would, please, take a look at verse 24. Daniel's being given a vision here. He's been asking for, as a matter of fact, he's just read the prophet Jeremiah. And as he's read the prophet Jeremiah, he realizes, Jeremiah said we're going to get free in 70 years. Those 70 years are almost up. We're about to go back to the land. This is wonderful. Well, the angel tells him, yeah, since you're dealing with 70s, let's just go ahead and look a little more. 77s, he says. 70 weeks, 77s is the correct word there. 77s are determined for your people, for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now look what verse 25 says. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. That's 483 years. So here's what they can know. Daniel's telling them when Messiah is coming, and it will be in 483 years. Sevens. 77s are going to be 69 of those sevens. So it's 483 years. 483 years from the time that Jerusalem's commanded to be rebuilt until Messiah. That's what's going to take place. So how long has it been for these shepherds? Folks, it's been 400 years more, over 450 years since they've heard anything from the Lord. He's been quiet. But that quietness was ended, as we looked at last week. Man, right away, you've got Zacharias getting a word from the Lord. You've got Mary getting a word from the Lord. You've got Elizabeth. You've got Joseph. You've got the whole family. Everybody's starting to get a word from the Lord. And then here this night, where the shepherds were, they're getting a word from the Lord. Savior's born, who's Christ the Lord. Savior. This guy. The one Daniel's writing about. What's he going to do? Pick up with me here. He says in verse 24, he's going to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. All of this iniquity and sin that we're living in that has produced so much oppression, so much pain, so much sorrow is going to be ending. This one who's coming, this Savior, is coming to end all of that and to bring in a whole new kingdom, to bring in a whole new thing. Now, here you go. You got your S-A-V-I-O-R down? Here we go. Write this. Letter A. What does the Savior do? He activates the kingdom of God on earth. That's the promised hope. That's what David was looking for. There's a reason to call it the city of David is because David had been promised a king's going to come from you to be the last king. This is going to be it. The last king on earth will be someone coming from you. And whoever this Savior is, he's going to activate that kingdom of God on earth. Letter V. What's he going to do? He's going to verify all biblical prophecy. See what it says? He's going to finish it up, seal up vision and prophecy. So he's going to verify it all. He's going to prove just exactly how true that all is. I want you to consider with me here, Isaiah the prophet. Well, let's go back even further. Let's go back to what the Lord told Adam and Eve. That one day, the seed of the woman is going to defeat the seed of Satan. Abraham, guess what you're told, Abraham? That one day, a seed of yours is going to bless all the nations will be blessed by him. Moses, a prophet will come from you just like you. A prophet's going to come back to Israel again, and he will lead their people out in the last Exodus. It will be bigger than the one you're going through in Egypt. No, it'll be the last big Exodus. and he will lead you. Man, David gets all kinds of prophecies through the Psalms. A son of God is going to be born. The begotten one is going to be born. Psalm 2. Psalm 22, he's going to suffer. Psalm 23, he's going to be our shepherd, just like we have. Where was it? Where did I put that? Shepherd. Oh, yeah, right there. See, that Lord is my shepherd. He's going to be just like this. He's going to guide us. He's going to lead us. He's going to take care of us. Isaiah told us it'd be a son. And told us the government was going to be upon his shoulder. Told us the son would come. It would be a virgin that he's bringing through. And then he describes his kingdom. Wow. The lion, the lamb laying down together. The wolf, the sheep, everything eating together. Meat eating must be a thing of the past. Because you got the bear and the ox eating straw. Not each other. A whole new world of righteousness. And Isaiah's telling us all about it. Isaiah's going to tell us about the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah's giving us all kinds of things. Oh, comes along to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, new relationship, new covenant. It's all going to happen. And this guy, this night, is bringing that to pass. This guy, this night, is opening up that new covenant. Listen, when God starts something, it's as good as done. When he says, I'm beginning this thing, when he brought that child there, he's already looking past the child, looking to the resurrection, looking past that, looking out to the kingship, and looking to all the people that are going to be with him in that one night. In that one little phrase, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So, he's going to come and save his people from their sins and all the ramifications of those sins. He's going to activate the kingdom of God on earth. He's going to verify all biblical prophecies. And letter I, he's going to invest a new life in people. You see, in order to be in this kingdom of God, you have to be born again. And that's not something you work your way into. That's not something you try to get done. It's something that this guy, this Messiah, puts in you. It's something brought to you by the Spirit of God. It's something you can't do yourself. So as we've looked at, he crucifies the old man with him on the cross. He's buried that old man and separated that old man from us so that when Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, so are you. Brand new life. You're a born again person. Simply for putting trust in this Messiah. For therein lies the root of all sin. Where there is no trust in God, there will always be sin. But where there is trust in God, there is grace and forgiveness and healing and strength and power. He's going to invest people with a new life. He's going to do that through the Spirit. People are going to be born again by the Spirit. They're going to be filled with the Spirit and live by the Spirit. It's going to be a whole new people. I can't wait to tell you about that, about the second Sunday in January. We've got some really good stuff I want to share with you about that. You're going to love it. I know you will, and if you don't, shame on you. So, you don't love it already, huh? Okay. Letter O. He organizes a new order of people. The children of God. You know, I see some people here that I've actually had weddings for. And I'm glad they're here this morning. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. But here's one thing I've noticed about that wedding. The wedding may start at 4, but the wedding party doesn't get there at 4. They always know, can we have a key? Well, when do you plan to get there? 10. 10? Why do you need to be at 10? Are you kidding? Look at these. I've got to have them polished. Are you kidding? Look at this. It's got to be fixed. And then the girls tell you what they got to do. Listen, they go through all this elaborate stuff and they shoot pictures here and they got little pictures here and they go to this really nice preparation, you know? They go to the room. But I've never seen one of them, never seen one of them come to the platform, stop right here and said, we've been to the room. We've prepared. You can go home now. Why did they prepare? Why did they go to the dressing room? Why did they come at 10? They were coming for the wedding, weren't they? And I've also noticed this, that when they get married up here, seldom they say, that was good. What a ceremony. Okay, you guys can go home, and we are too. Okay, then they shake hands with each other and go off to their apartments again. It's never happened. Because you see, the wedding isn't what it's about. It's what? The marriage. The marriage. Building a life together. Having fruit together. Being with each other. Ruling and reigning over their yard and their house and their kids and their gardens and everything else that they do. And their shires and other places like that. Whatever they're going to do, they do together. Now you say, why did you tell us that? What's it going to do with anything? Brothers and sisters, watch this. Heaven is a dressing room. Heaven is the dressing room, not the end. Heaven's the dressing room. For what? That's where you get your wedding clothes. And then what do? You go have the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? It doesn't end there. That's not an end. You see, he's organized this whole new order of things because he's planning for us to be right with him, ruling and reigning and living in new bodies, in new ways, not simply floating on a cloud someplace. That's the dressing room, kids. The end is what we're after. Everybody see where I'm coming from? The end is what we're after. This is what he was promising. Look at this. The wolf and the lamb laying down like they had done before. Look at this. The ground bringing forth without a briar, without a thorn, without a thistle, just like it did before. Everything beautiful like it was and working in harmony, just like it was before. The whole earth now filled with his glory, for the people are also bringing forth as they were supposed to. That's what a Savior does. He saves us from our sins. He activates the kingdom of God right now so I can start living that way right now. You see, I'm destined to lead. Now I'm learning how to do it. And then I'll go to the waiting room. I'm going to go there where the dressing room is. I'm going to get my clothes on right. I'm going up to marry my husband. And when I marry my husband, I'm coming back to live with him. Forever and ever. That's our joy. Not to simply be disembodied spirits, but to have our bodies back again, to have our spirits back again, to live. Live as he meant all the way back here at creation when he said, this is very good. So Savior organizes. So here we'll do. A Savior saves. He activates the kingdom of God. He verifies all the biblical prophecies. He invests people with a new life. He organizes a new order of people, the children of God who will inherit everything he has. And last, R. Look what he says he's going to do. In verse 24 again, he says, to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. So he's changing all that. He's stopping the sin problem so he can go on with a new kind of people. And he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Kids, the last thing he's going to do is reconcile the whole cosmos back to God. Not just sinners, the whole cosmos. We're told in Romans chapter 8 that this cosmos is crying, in pain, ready to be delivered. It's caught up in a cycle. And when the children of God appear, the cycle ends and they too will be free. They too. That's what the whole world, this whole cosmos, every animal that's out there, every plant that's out there, the ground itself, the water is all waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. And the only one that could do that was Messiah. This Messiah. Talk about amazing. This Messiah that starts out no bigger than a period on a page. The same one who's knit all the others of the world is now being knit. Little body. Born. Just like the rest of us. Messiah. The one who's going to save us. The one who's going to activate the whole kingdom of God. The one who's verifying all the scriptures. The one who's investing life in all of us. The one who's organizing a whole new order of things. And the one who's reconciling the whole cosmos to himself. In a manger in Bethlehem? What a God. What an awesome God. You got to love it, don't you? That he would do something so humble in order to redeem all of this that had been so fallen and bring it up to a brand new height, full of glory, full of God. You can't beat that, kids. You can't beat that. Merry Christmas.